Compared to what may well lie ahead in these next few years, and I'm warning you about this, because we need to have a mindset, we're going to trust God. We're going to do what God wants. We're going to remain faithful. No matter what happens, we're going to remain faithful to God as His people in His local church. Do we believe a saved soul can ever be lost? Is it possible? Do we believe a saved soul can ever be lost? No, it can't. That's a fact. But I guarantee you, a saved soul can lose confidence in God. A saved soul can fail to endure to the end. A saved soul can draw back from walking by faith. And a saved soul can cause the body it lives in, the physical body, to be destroyed. That's possible, but you can't lose your salvation. Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. If you go back and look at the verses before this, this church, which was a church, I suppose, compiled primarily of Hebrews, born again Hebrews, scripturally baptized, probably at Alexandria, but nobody knows for sure. And it had gone through tremendous tribulation and persecution. If you read the verses just before Hebrews 10, 35 through 39, the writer is exhorting them, just like I'm exhorting you right now. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He wouldn't have written this if it wasn't possible for them to lose confidence. He says, whatever you do, don't lose your confidence in God. He said, which hath great recompense of reward. Then he says, for ye have need of patience. The God-breathed word for patience is hypomene. It means endure. You have need of endurance. Don't quit. But you have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul said, declaring both to the Jew and the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're saved. Now there's a promise, a reward, waiting you in heaven. You've done the will of God. You've exercised repentance toward God. You've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're a child of God, he's telling them. He said, now. He said, endure to the end. And don't lose confidence in God. We're about to go through some tribulation. That's why I'm doing this. For no other reason. For a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. That does not mean that God is sitting up there saying, well, I think I'll just hold off a little longer. I'm just going to wait a little. I'm going to tarry a while. That doesn't mean that at all. It refers to the manner of coming. Boom! It says, when I do come, after a little while, he said, it's going to be quick. For behold, I cometh quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So, he's telling you, just hang on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose your confidence. Keep on coming to church. Keep on being faithful. Keep on serving God. Keep on studying about my son. Keep on learning the things of God. Keep on honoring God's local visible body, the church, in your life and heart. Now the just shall live by faith. I'm justified, and I live by faith. But if I draw back from a walk of faith, the Lord said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He said, I won't like it. He doesn't say he's going to destroy that soul. He doesn't say he's going to send him to hell. He's talking about somebody that loses confidence. Somebody that doesn't endure. Somebody that just loses confidence. Quits walking for the Lord. Quits a walk of faith. You say, well, what is a walk of faith? It's in a New Testament church. You cannot walk a walk of faith outside a New Testament church. I'm going to say that three times. That's the first time. You cannot walk a walk of faith outside of a New Testament church. You cannot walk a walk of faith outside a New Testament church. That's why I try so hard to get people that are saved to realize to be in God's service and to be walking a walk of faith. You have to position yourself for that walk, and it has to be in one of his churches that teaches and preaches the truth. And there aren't going to be many here when he comes back. He's talking about if a man draws back from living by faith, loses confidence in God, Salvation is by grace. You can't lose your salvation. And then he says something about himself and those with him and the way they're supposed to be. He said, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition. Don't think that word perdition means hell. The word perdition means destruction. And he says, we're not like these people that lose confidence in God, don't endure, quit walking by faith. He said, they draw back into destruction. And if they draw far enough away from God and dishonor the local body of Christ enough, they will be destroyed in the flesh. But their soul will not be destroyed, and their soul will not go to hell. He says, we're not of those who draw back into destruction. He said, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He said, we believe the soul is saved. It's not going to be destroyed. And he said, we're not like those people that draw back into destruction and lose their lives. This is a message to a saved soul. It's a simple message. Don't stop calling on, serving, and having confidence in God. He will avenge his people on his own timetable. Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he taught a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, what is a person doing that's always praying and doesn't give up? Walking by faith. And where does such a person position themselves? In one of God's local New Testament churches that preaches and teaches the truth, he says, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lose your confidence. Keep praying. Saying, there is in a city a judge. Now notice the character of this judge. He's a wing-dinger. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He didn't care anything about God. He didn't fear God. Doubt if he even believed in God. And he certainly didn't have any regard for man. Any man. He didn't love anybody but himself. He didn't care about anything but himself. He was a judge, but everything he ever did was judged to his favor. And there was a widow in the city. A widow couldn't bribe him. A widow couldn't give him any money. And she couldn't do anything for him. But he didn't care a thing about her. He didn't care a thing about God or anybody else. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me on mine adversary. This adversary of this widow had apparently been cheating her out of money, been robbing her, been making her life miserable, and it was a just case. And this poor widow had an adversary that was just driving her into the poorhouse, causing her all sorts of problems, and this judge should have immediately avenged her. And he would not for a while. He wouldn't do it for a while. He didn't care anything about God, didn't care anything about her. But you know, sometimes if somebody that doesn't care anything about anybody else, if you bug them long enough and they can't, it pesters them and they just want to get rid of you, they'll finally do what you want. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said, though I fear not God, he said it himself, nor regard man. He said, I don't care anything about God, I don't care anything about anybody. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. He said, hear what the unjust judge said. All right. He's just shown you an A1, self-centered, self-loving, ungodly man who doesn't care anything about anybody but himself. He said, now, if that ungodly man, who doesn't care anything about anybody, will finally avenge this widow for all the trouble she's had and all the adversity she's going through, just because she bugs him to death, he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? He said, don't expect me to act right away. He said, I'm going to act on my own timetable. You see, God is eternal, and your soul's eternal. God doesn't look on the short term. He looks on the long term. He looks on everything. He knows you're going to die. He knows when you're going to die. He knows when you're going to be changed. He knows everything about you. You keep right on crying to him. You keep right on praying to him. You keep on being faithful to him. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? He said, just keep on praying. Keep on enduring. Don't lose confidence in me. Don't lose confidence in me. Kind of like the old woman that had a, said, she had a lot of faith. She put this jug on her head. Said, Lord, fill this jug with wheat. Lord, fill this jug with wheat. Then she really got intense. Her face turned red and she spoke in tongues and she said, Lord, fill this jug with wheat. Then she brought it down. She said, just like I thought, empty. Now, if you expect God to operate on your timetable, you got another thing coming. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But God's told me to do this. You have confidence in me, Tom Michael Murray. You endure to the end and be faithful to me till I come. And you run your race of faith. You walk in faith where I told you to walk, in your church. And you do what I told you to do. And don't worry. He said, I'm going to take care of all those people that didn't. And he said, I'm going to take care of all those people that persecuted you, that mistreated you. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. You say, well, why'd he wait so long? Remember that Terry? When he does come, boom! Quick! He'll avenge you. And when he does, boom! It'll be quick. It'll be sudden. Now this next verse, to me, is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. There are times I wish that I could have heard the inflection in Jesus' voice when he said it. I'm serious. I wish I could have heard the inflection. Because I have a strong suspicion that he would have said it something like this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He knew what man would do. He knew they'd crucify him. He also knew what would be happening today. Once again, the Gentiles would do the same thing the Jews did. They also would reject him. Now that word faith is pistos. And a lot of times in the King James translation, they don't translate the definite article, which is fine. But actually this is tais pistos, tais piston. It means the faith. It didn't mean that he wouldn't find any saved people on earth. He meant he wouldn't find any people teaching the faith on earth because the definite article is used. He wouldn't find very many people that were still saved by grace through faith. And after they were saved by grace through faith, they did the same thing his son did. They went seeking the proper authority to be baptized. And they went and were immersed by a church that had the authority. And after they did that, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. He said, you're not going to find much of that on the earth. Well, how much of it is there today? How many churches today are actually observing the ordinances of the Lord's church correctly? How many of them are doing what he did? This isn't legalism. This is obedience by love and respect for the one who gave the commandments as to how the ordinances were supposed to be observed. The parable teaches this. Keep on communicating and serving God where and how he directs. No matter how long it takes, to the time of your physical death or the first resurrection. He directs that obedience to him to be in one of his local New Testament churches. I don't know anything else to do except to be blunt and straightforward with you. If you're saved, you need to be baptized by immersion by a church that is still preaching and teaching the same truths once delivered to the saints. And if you are a member of such a church, you need to make up your mind that no matter what happens, you're going to be faithful to the end. And you're not going to let anything deter you. No matter what persecutions come against the church, no matter how bad things get, you're going to be loyal to the one who saved you, and you're going to be faithful in his local visible body, which is the New Testament church. The inference in this last sentence, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find thee faith on the earth," is that very few of his local churches will exist when he comes. This may be the most important message you ever heard in your life, not because I preached it, but because of the times in which we live. If there ever was a time we needed to make up our minds to do what God wants us to do, it's now. But he has promised that when he does come, all will be made right in judgment on their adversaries. So what are we going to do in this coming time of trouble, whenever it finally comes? Will we still be practicing the faith? By the grace of God, we can do it. By the power of Christ in us, we can do it. And we won't have any excuse when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, because we knew what he delivered to the first New Testament church. And by the power of his Spirit in us and out of our love for God, we determined to do it to the bitter end, no matter what the price or consequence. Jude 3 and 4. Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," he said, I felt a diligence to write and talk to you about the common salvation. But he said, "Suddenly I was moved by the Spirit. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Taste piston. Here they translated "the faith." He's writing this to a group of people that were church members. And he said, you need to earnestly contend for the faith. The faith is taste piston, a system of teaching and doctrine which was once delivered to the saints. In this town, we've got churches that baptize babies. We've got churches that sprinkle adults. We've got churches that don't believe Jesus is God's son, but he's a prophet. We've got churches that teach you can lose your salvation. You say, "Brother McElmurray, why are there so many different kinds of churches?" Because most of them have abandoned the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And I thank God from the depths of my soul that while I was still in this body of flesh, I was privileged to understand the importance of serving God the way he said to be serviced. And if all people had done that from the beginning, we wouldn't have all these different faiths, because all of them would still be teaching the same thing that was once delivered to the saints, and we wouldn't have all this variation. He says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Even back in this time, somewhere around 70 AD or thereabouts, certain men had already crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, grace of our God, into lasciviousness. Already they were teaching you could lose your salvation if you weren't circumcised, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:21. "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come to the law, then Christ is dead in vain." If you've never done it, you need to get down on your knees and thank God that you were saved by grace, and that you discovered that if Jesus, if righteousness, if your righteousness and your salvation came by your keeping the law, then Jesus died unnecessarily. Here's what I propose to do the rest of the time I'm here. 2 Timothy 4:1 and 2. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." And you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged for whether or not you were in the right church, for whether or not you were baptized properly, and for whether or not you served God in that church. So you better make up your mind, because there isn't a whole lot of time. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So let's make up our minds that no matter what happens, no matter what persecutions come against us, I think one of the most poignant statements in the Bible will sum up everything I've said. When Esther had to go before King Ahasuerus, and if he did not extend out to her his sepulcher so that she could grasp it and gain its favor, she would be put to death, and she knew it. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. And when she was questioned about and told about this and what would happen, she said, "If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish." Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. "For dust thou art, to dust returneth," was not spoken of the soul. And my soul's going to have to stand before the Lord. My soul's going to be judged, not for heaven or hell. It's going to be judged for how faithful I was. I know I'm in a church that baptizes properly. I know it has the authority. I know I'm in a church that practices the ordinance of the Lord's Supper the way the Bible says. Not the way people want it to be practiced, but the way the Bible says. I'm not a legalist. I'm a man who loves the Lord, who loves Jesus, and who wants to honor him by obeying what he says. We're about to face some pretty troublesome times. If there ever was a time we needed to be serious about this, make up our minds that we were going to continue in love until Jesus comes, no matter what. It's now. Brother Charles Trustee, would you dismiss us?